Praise his name. Let's stand together, if you will. We open the service. Bow our heads. Father, Lord, we're truly appreciative. Thank you so much for your grace. Lord, every day truly becomes greater and greater in our lives. We can see how you guide us. Lord, walk with us, protect us. Father and Lord, reveal your word to us. We thank you. And that's why we're here, Lord. Lord, that we may receive of what you have for us tonight. Lord, just may we be open-hearted. Lord, pulling. Lord, that we may receive. Bless our brother, Lord, as he brings that word this evening. Lord, may it be easy for him. May he truly feel our desire and our hunger. Bless us now, Lord. Draw us ever close to these. We ask these things in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd like to start on page 64 of our life books there. Capstone Life, I believe it is. Amen. Nearer, my God, to thee. Praise his name. Page 38 in our big books, Draw Me Nearer. Amen. Praise His name. Amen. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to ride in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Oh, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope
wonderful.
Draw me near. Amen. Let's sing page 289. A little quicker song. Amen. Praise His holy name. Springs of living water. I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and manifold supply. How sweet the living water from the hills of God. It makes me glad and happy all the way. Now glory, grace, and blessing mark the path I've trod. I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh, sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water free, where thirsting spirits can be satisfied. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water, oh, bountiful and wonderful, amen. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Amen. Oh, what a supply. Amen. Praise His holy name. He's wonderful. Brother Luke, would you like to come up again for the offering? Praise His name. That's the blessing on it, if you will. Amen. He's wonderful. He's everything to me. Let's sing that together. Amen. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. Oh, He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. Hallelujah. How many have a request for Him? Amen. Something on your heart. Just hold it on your heart. Brother Leffler, would you like to take the request?
Heavenly Father, we come to You, my Father. Lord, Heavenly Father, waiting, Lord, for Your word to come, Lord, is to revive us again, Father. Help us, Lord, to do such as will. Father, we know we're living in a time, Father. But Lord, we see each day Father, we ask now that you bless your word to come forth. Bring it forth, Father. Let it go down deep in our hearts and our minds, Father. Give us revelation, most of all, Father. We ask and pray in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Amen. Would you have a song tonight, Karen? All right. Has anyone got a song on your heart? Amen. Praise his name. Michael, you got something?
Page 652, this little light of mine.
Amen. Page 652. Amen. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Amen. Sing it together. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Sing it again. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen. Amen. That's something we all need to do. Let our light shine before the world, no matter where we go. Amen. No matter how big or little we are, let your light shine. Amen. Let's stand together, if you will. Amen. Sing a little chorus, Only Believe. Ask our brother to come. Only believe. Only believe. All
precious Lord, with joy we've truly entered in tonight, Lord, thanking you for what you've done for us. Lord, where you've brought us from and your mercy and grace we see in our lives. And Lord, we see the hour in which we live, and Lord, we just pray for mercy and grace and strength, Lord, to be what you would have us be in this hour. Lord, that we would truly be a people that was dedicated unto you, Lord, that through us you might have the full preeminence in everything. Lord, we've just gathered here tonight to have you speak to us, and we ask you to bless your word to our hearts. Bless my feeble lips, Lord, and bless our hearts that you would anoint it and maybe grant us understanding of your precious word. And we'll never fail to see that you receive all the glory and the honor from it all. And we ask it all in the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen. Are you happy to be here?
Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord for every opportunity we get to come together. While you're still standing, if you would, let's just turn over to the book of Colossians. I was going to work the other morning listening to a message, and something Brother Branham kind of said, just kind of nothing deep, just a small text, but something jumped out at me, and the Lord kind of impressed it on my heart, and little did I know I'd be preaching this evening, and I just kind of was thinking about it, and so tonight we're just going to talk about it a little bit, and just pray that the Lord will open our hearts and help me just to bring it in a way that it'll be of help to someone, to encourage us along our way, and keep us pressing on for Him. But Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and we'll just read that 23rd verse, and then you can be seated. Colossians 3 and 23. And whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. May the Lord add blessing to His word. You may be seated. But I'd like to back up there and start about the 16th verse and reread that and kind of catch what he was saying before this. But let's just start there about the 14th verse. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it fit in the Lord. And husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents, and in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And as I was just reading this, as here in Colossians, and as he's kind of laying this out, the Apostle Paul was reminiscing a lot of these things he had already spoke previously. But each one of us, we can find ourselves in that verse. We can find a wife, we can find a husband, we can find a child. In that scripture verse, there's something for all of us. And I was just thinking about our responsibilities. And that sounds like a small word, but as a Christian, we've got many responsibilities to the Word of God. And each one of us has been placed here. And God's called each one of us to a service. And each one of us, by God's grace, felt that draw in our heart, and we've come into Him, and we've asked Him, Lord, here's my life, and Lord, here I am. And with that comes a responsibility. He has a purpose. He called you for a purpose. He called each one of us for a specific reason. And at this space and time, some of us may be old, some of us may be young, but each one of us, some of us may be fathers, grandfathers, daughters, children, wives, husbands, brothers, sisters, it don't matter. Each one of us has a responsibility at the time we're placed here in. But I'd like to turn here in the message. This is just a prayer Brother Branham prayed, and I just felt led to read this before I start. But this was at the beginning of God. Does God ever change His mind about His word? And He says, let us bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, we are assembled again in Your name with great expectation of the outpouring of the quickening power of God to bring us into recognition of our position and place and our responsibilities as being a called people, separated from the world and dedicated to God. Grant, Lord, tonight that the blessings of God will guide us and direct us in the things we do and say, that it might bring honor and glory to Your name. And each service we've kind of mentioned that we're here for His glory and His honor. But nevertheless, each one of us has a responsibility. And you say, well, I come to church and I pay my tithes, I pay my offering, I'm working every day. Each one of those is responsibilities. But nevertheless, we're talking about the responsibility of every word that's been left for me, for you. Whatever position I fulfill, we've got to make sure that we take that responsibility greatly and bear it in our mind that I'm here doing this not to, I don't come here, we'll just use the church for example, I don't come over here and do work around the church to so that I might please our pastor. I don't come here and do things to try to gain the confidence of our pastor. That's not my purpose. But the scripture says to do heartily as unto the Lord. And I realize that God has placed me here with this little group, part of this little building, and this becomes my dedication and my responsibility to come and do my portion of whatever I can to help keep things running, keep it smooth, keep it looking nice for Him. For it's a place we gather to keep the air conditioner running, the heat, whatever it is, that's a responsibility that each of us brothers, we take that as a responsibility of ourselves. And we're not here doing that for no one but for us and the Lord. And when I work around here, I totally have that in my mind that what I am doing is not for anyone else, but it's for the Lord. The Lord placed this upon my heart as a burden to serve Him, and this is what I do. And no matter if I went to this church or if I went to somewhere else, wherever I was getting my food and being fed, I would feel that same burden to take that responsibility and to help. That's something God places on the inside of you is you when you're born again and you feel that in your heart. But that's just one of the many responsibilities. But there's many that come, and we could talk about, you can go through this Bible, and that's what He said. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. That's where we find our answers. We must search. And we can start with every aspect. He's here to prove that He would have the preeminence in our lives in all things, not just coming to church, not just saying we believe every word, just saying we believe it. But He was going to vindicate through these people that He could have the full preeminence in a body of believers. And that this word would become a written epistle, walking, living, read of all men. That these pages would become alive in our hearts and in our lives. And each one of us can find a place. As a husband, a wife, a daughter, there is a place in here for us. As a ministry, a song leader, as any obligation that God has called me to, there is a place and a responsibility that's been placed upon me to make sure that it's done accordingly to the way God would have it done. And this is in the message, A Man Running for the Presence of the Lord. And this is on. This was preached February 17th, 1965. And just catch what he's saying here. And this is, I'll start here at the top of the page, and he was speaking of Jonah. He says, and here we find an example of all of us. Every one of us, we're always running from something. And he was talking about Jonah. The Lord had given Jonah a job. And Jonah really didn't want to do the job that he had been given. But he didn't have no choice. God had done and give it to him to do it, and He called him to do it. But we found Jonah for just a minute, he tried to get out of his duty. But it says here, we find an example of all of us, every one of us. We're always running from something. We run from trouble. We run from responsibilities. We're all prone to do that. We are more prone to run than we are to stand and face it out, see? We find ourselves running. Sometimes we find ourselves prone to running from work. We don't want to. We don't want to work. Some people just think they can make their living without working. But I think Solomon is that he said he could find here the answer in watching an ant. You know a little ant, they tell me? That if every ant doesn't work and lay in, that ant doesn't eat that winter either. So everybody has to work. And we can find our brother's place in that. We all must work, and we must provide for our own, and we must take care of what God's placed upon us as a husband. Our wives, our children, it's our duty to see that they're clothed, that they're fed, that every need they may have is met. That's my obligation as long as they are mine. God granted me the grace to have those children, placed them in my care. It's my duty to see that they have everything they have need of in life till they reach the age to where they can fend for themselves. And he says, when we get so many things we have to do, so much responsibility that we have to face, everybody has got to face a certain responsibility. When you come to choose your wife, to get married, to choose your husband, you've got to take a responsibility, and then you must remember, maybe you built a home, it's a nice, pretty home, and then remember, as a married woman, you've got to think of the responsibility of raising that children. And you've got to think of them pretty slick walls that's going to have little dirty handprints all over them. Then you've got the responsibility of educating your children. And you've got the responsibility of clothing and feeding. Everything is a responsibility. And it's so easy when the responsibilities faces to shirk from them. And we find out that marriage is a responsibility in all manners. And we could just... And as our brother has been touching on marriage so much, you can just stop and take that for a small instance. We get married, we have a wife, we get a home, and everything that we do reflects upon the character of me and you. And it brings a reflection of how I feel. You know, God blesses us with a home, just like He's blessed us with this little church, and as I was speaking, we take care of it. The same goes into our home. Everything I have at home, I may have the smallest house, it may not be the fanciest house, but by looking at the appearance from the outside, people can judge me off of that, and they will. People are judgmental. But But if they can see that you're taking care, though it may be the smallest, simplest thing, but if they can see that that expression that, oh my, he's really thankful for what God's giving, look how he's trying to take care of it. Maybe just all you do, it shows that, and that's portion of a husband, taking care of the home and making sure that everything outside, that responsibility is shown. And it shows that I'm sponsoring my responsibility and shouldering it as a husband and as a provider, taking care and maintaining that. But then you can come to the inside and there's the wife. She may be cleaning it and sweeping it. And there again, it can be the plainest thing. But it shows in her heart that what she's doing, she's not just cleaning that for her natural husband. She's not just making sure that everything's in place just as the husband's doing the outside, but as do it all as unto the Lord. That's a reflection of how you feel about what he's let you have, what he's letting you borrow in this life. It shows your appreciation. Maybe you're out there pampering a little flower along in the driveway, pampering a tree along to keep beauty growing there, knocking, just keeping it all is a reflection of who the desire that's in your heart shows. Not worshiping your home and that kind, but just maintaining what God has given us. If he gives us a car, we take care of it. We do all that we can to keep that in condition. It may be an old, what some would call an old jalopy, but we still take care of it. We baby it. We pamper it along. Keep it nice as we can. Maintain it. Take in consideration that God let me borrow that, and as long as he let me borrow it, I'm going to do the best I can to take care of it because it truly belongs to him. Anything he's let us have, it's his. But it's our responsibility to show back to a people that we care about what God's doing for us in the natural. And it all will continue to tie over. But just think of each one of these positions we're placed in. That we have an opportunity that people may never speak to me, but they can see my diligence in everything that I do, my personal appearance, from everything. They can see that maybe I'm not a prideful person. Humbleness shows. It'll glow. Humility glows, Brother Branham said. But you will see that it's a responsibility that they've taken seriously, and they're grateful that it's God that has let them use each one of these things in their life. As he goes here to say, over here on page 12, about paragraph 68, he says, you have got a responsibility, everybody has, and you must face up to these things. And when you see then, in this day now, when the Word of God has made these promises of things that we see happening now, then we've got a responsibility to either face up to it or get away from it. You can't stay neutral. You've got to do something about it. Some move has got to be made, and you can't come in that church door and go out the same person you come in. You're either further away or closer to God every time you come in and go out of here. And that's truly our responsibility as we come here and we feed upon the Word and he reveals himself. Our responsibility is to go out and let him reflect that life back through us. And it shows in every aspect of that I do. The way I'm raising my children, that's my great, one of our, as parents, that's our greatest responsibility that God would place, because you don't know where those last little seeds lie. And God might have placed in your care that last little one, and it's your place to raise that child and to nurture it in the way it should go, and to guide it and lead it in paths of life. As Brother Branham said, I want to read this here. Just sometimes, we know, it's oftentimes we as parents, we get to... It's not one or the other. As parents, the husband's the head, but it must be a team together with correction, with love. When the husband's not home, the wife has to stand just the way the husband wants her to stand, and it's got to be the togetherness. Unity in the home will bring, just like in the church, it must be in unity together. But listen here, as Brother Branham said, I got the wrong book, I believe. Amen. He used this for a type. He was fixing to dedicate some children. And this ain't my message, but this is part of our responsibility that this word was left, that we raise our children according to the Word of God. And it goes into everything. But he says here, this is paragraph 14 on page 3. This was preached September 1st, 1963, message token. He said, now here's two fine little boys, my three of them. Well, that's the whole family. What's your name? And the boys, he's going through their names. Michael, yours is. And the boy says, Paul. And what fine names. And the girl says, Debbie, that's really fine. Michael, Paul, and Deborah, and that's your last. And the father says, Ellis. Well, that's a mighty fine little family, I'm telling you. He said, you know, when I see little fellas like that, it always takes me back when I was a little boy. And you know the old saying, they tramp your feet now and your heart later, but I don't believe it'll be so when we dedicate them to the Lord and we have a responsibility here. And God placed this in your hand. He made a preacher out of you. And I've always said about women preachers, you know, but every mother is a preacher, and here is her congregation. See, to raise these little fellows right while dad is working. And you've got a responsibility. And he says, God bless you both. You've got a fine little family. But that's where it's got to be togetherness. The wife has got a responsibility to show the daughters how to clean house, to maintain that home, to cook, to clean as they're growing. They learn all of these things. They teach their children how to maintain the home on the outside, the boys. And they teach all of this, as we call, may call it life skills, but nevertheless it reflects upon my character. And it shows, am I just being a lazy mother, or am I being a lazy dad and I don't really care and I'm just kind of, we're getting by, we got this and we got that, but no big deal. Maybe this let's go and that's let go and all of this, that, and the other, and never a diligence, nothing ever showing that I'm raising that child to be a true son or daughter of God, to be a mother, to be a father, how to maintain and take care of things, and how to handle life situations, that it'll be a reflection of you when that child grows older. And that's what's reflected through their life, is the training they got while they was young, and it will show when that child becomes of age, whether it come out of the scriptures or whether it didn't. It'll show whether we let down or whether we was diligent in our responsibilities as parents. But there, we all have responsibilities. Every time this word is coming forth, we have that responsibility to make sure that every word that we hear is living and manifesting in our hearts and lives. We're not just sitting here to slop our way through life and just live however we want to live, come to church when we want to, but we've been given a dedication that we consecrate ourselves to God, and that everything we do is a reflection of Jesus Christ. He was diligent. When he was here on earth, he was diligent about the work that was left for him. Everything he done showed he cared about his purpose in being here, and he didn't shirk it, but he went right on with it all the time. And you know, it's so easy. Brother Branham even mentioned it. You know, sometimes it's not easy to correct our children when we need to. It's hard sometimes to have to step in, and it may hurt us more than it hurts them, but nevertheless, we must make sure everything is according to God's word and raising them up and rearing them up. God placed them in our care, and by God's grace, he give us the word to lead and to guide, to make sure that we're directing their paths and make sure that every word lines up 100%. I didn't mean to get off on that. But amen, just our responsibilities are great, and we must make sure that everything we hear, we're doing. As I said, we can bring it right back to church. If I feel I've been called to be a special singer, it ought to be on my heart. Lord, give me a song to sing. Not just singing whatever I want to sing whenever, but there's something burning in there, a calling to it. If I'm a song leader, there's a desire burning down in there that every service, there it's fresh to me. It's deacons, whatever we are, it all, it's a great responsibility we have. We've each been given a portion. Even just to come and sit underneath the presence of God and have him speak to us is a great responsibility, that we come through the door in the right manner, that we come in with humbleness and peaceful and keep it quiet, as it's often said. You know, we make sure that everything is just right. That's part of our responsibility as Christians, to maintain and to make sure that everything we do truly reflects that I believe all of God's word, not just part of it. Over here in the message. And you know, we often come through those doors, and it's our responsibility to be here to make sure that we know what God wants of us. And we should. As Brother Branham says here in the message, God doesn't call a man to judgment without first warning him. Page 8, paragraph 34. He says, now we find out what his nature was. He here to always warn a man before judgment, nation. It's been put here. Let's see. He says, he always gives his warning a reminder of a responsibility. And we are responsible. And God has put us here on the earth for a reason. And the reason that he has put us here for, we are responsible to him for that reason. And you should go to him and find out what he wants you to do, see? If you went to work for a man and he give you a job on a ranch or something or other, you just went out to the barn and you just sat down there and say, well, see, you must go ask what he wants you to do. And then do it. If you're working for a man, find out what your duties is. And then if our life duty on this earth, we should go to the one who put us here. Lord, what would you have me do? What must I do? Why am I here? And if it's to be a housewife, a dishwasher, if it's to be whatever God wants you to do, then you do that the very best that you know how to do it. No matter how little, or no matter how little it is, you must do it. And we must, saints, make sure that whatever, as a housewife, as a husband, all of these categories of life, that I am fulfilling exactly what the Scripture said that would be in my life. That everything that I do or start to move, God is vindicating that the Word is being fulfilled and managed and manifested in my life. But so often, we're so easy, so prone to just let things slide. Oh, it's not that important that I do this. It's not that important that I do that. But how's God feel about it? You were sent here to serve Him, not to serve yourself, not to live for yourself, but you were sent here to live for God and to represent Him in this earth. And everything we do daily shows our characteristics, and it's either reflecting Him or it's not. And His characteristics are so full in this Bible, how everything you can see of every Christian, and even the examples, the little bitty examples you find as you read the prophet's message, and he'll use a little example here of a little saintly old Christian mother, or the saintly this over here, this little brother. And look at the little examples that God, you say, oh, that was just somebody he knew, but yet God was expressing through that person enough that God could use their life as a type of what it should be for a Christian. And how that ought to be our desire that would be us. That my life would be such a reflection. That as God was so proud of Job, he said, have you noticed my servant Job? He keeps all my commandments. And may that be the desire of our heart, that every word would be a little more important. You know, oftentimes it's so easy to just kind of shuck our duties and to let down, oh, it's not that big of a deal. We'll let that go. We'll let this go. We'll go do this. We'll do that. But we all have duties to Jesus Christ first. And oh my, don't ever forget that if it wasn't for Him, we wouldn't have anything we've got in this life. Everything we have, everything we touch is due to Him and because of Him. Amen. And He is before all. By Him all things consist, how we ought to love Him. As he says here, talking about Jesus, this is in the message, A Man Running from the Presence of the Lord, over on page 18. He says, could not he have saved himself when he was going to the cross? He said he sure could have. But if he did, he had not saved us. And he had to face up to the responsibilities because of his obedience to the word. Where Adam's disobedience, he had took the shortcut, the way down to Tarsus. But Jesus took the way to Nineveh, to the Gentiles, to get himself a bride. And I'm glad that he did it tonight. And we ought to face up to the facts that we belong to him and take the world away. Amen. Every man had to face up to that. That's got a responsibility before God. We just take, for instance, Noah. He had Noah, Moses, and Elijah, and all the rest of every age had to face up to the responsibility. They had to do it. But that's the reason they were sent in that hour. And how that ought to place confidence in our heart that God's seen somebody in this hour. And by God's grace, we can see He chose us for the hour within which we sit. And by God's grace, He saw you in His mind that you would be that person that could fulfill the word for this hour and manifest, that He could manifest Himself through. He says, every man, let's see, he's going here, he said, look at Noah in the scientific age, how he had to face up to the thing that was so unscientific. Why there wasn't a reason it couldn't be scientific. See, it was unscientific, rather. Why they said it's going to rain, and they never had rain a drop. Now he had to face up to it, and God said it was going to rain. Then faith without works is dead. If you say, I believe it, and don't make no act, just like the message, if you say, I believe it, and don't make an act, what good does it do? See, Noah went to work with his hammer and built an ark to confirm what he was talking about. And that's what we have to do. We have to go to work and prove our faith. Our works prove our faith. And the actions I make totally proves what's been revealed to me and how much I care that my life would reflect Jesus Christ. Am I being a diligent mother, teaching my children the way to go, the right way? Am I diligent in making sure that they're getting a good education? Am I diligent in making sure that that is something that they've been left in my care and I'm preparing them for when they get old enough to be on their own, that I'm doing all I can to guide them in the right way? And when you see that's your responsibility, and if you get to a place where you just don't know how to go on any farther, then you cry out to God, God, lead me and give me the direction that I need to continue on. As a husband, maybe my wife needs this and my children need that and I don't have the means to provide it, then I go to God and say, God, you give them to me and you placed me in this position. Lord, I have a duty to fulfill, to reflect you, and you watch God meet the need in your life that duty will be met and continued on. But the desire of your heart has to be right. Your motive and objective and everything that we do has to be to His glory and to His honor. Not what I can gain, what I get out of it, but that God would be reflected in my character, that He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And oh my, we've had many good examples Down through the years, you can look back at different ones, the things, you know, look back in the Bible at the little woman that had just a little bit of meal, just her son, but she was going to bake it, just the two of them. But oh my, God's prophet came, she obeyed, and God met the need. But how, just obeying God, she was preparing, taking care of her own at that time. And that's each one of us must follow the word and take care that we make sure that everything we do, everything in which we partake of, it glorifies God. Where I let myself go or what I do, everything reflects that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you know, I was thinking, this is in the message, Desperation. And when you truly see that what God has left for us in this day, and the responsibility that we have to be a people that is totally called out, separated out to God. You see so many that they've let loose, they've lost their responsibilities. They don't care, they run here, they do this, they dress any way they want to, they've let the word go, they lost their responsibility of what they were sent for. But here in Desperations, on page 19, paragraph 93, he was talking about Eleazar when he was sent to find a wife for Isaac. He said, Eleazar got desperate when the responsibility was placed upon him to hunt a bride for Isaac. Eleazar at Damascus was a great man, and he was favored by Abraham. And he was trusted by Abraham to go out and hunt a bride, a right type of bride for his son Isaac, that through that would bring forth Christ. And Eleazar, being a spiritual man, he knowed what it meant and the right kind of woman he had to be that man's wife, and how he would choose it. And in an hour of his desperation, when he arrived at the city, he prayed and said, Lord God, that's the thing. When you get desperate and go into praying, Lord God, let the first maid that comes forth and waters the camels and gives me a drink be that. He prayed in the hour of his desperation. And Rebecca, that beautiful maid, came, watered the camel, and then he said, don't delay me in my way. She had come to a time of decision. Whether she would go, she was the type of bride. Would she go and marry a man she had never seen? And that's a great thing. Never seen him. Yet she had only heard of his servant, and that's the type of the bride. You've never seen Christ. But you hear by his servants what it is, and you'll sell out everything, leave your homes and everything else it takes to go and find him. And how that ought to be our greatest goal when we realize our position and recognize what we've truly been called for, how that responsibility ought to weigh heavily on our shoulders. You know, as our pastor labors as a pastor, he's got a great responsibility, and he takes it very seriously. And he cries out and he prays that God will reveal to him something to bring to the people. And how we as a people ought to be crying out and praying, Lord, reveal to me what you'll lay up on his heart to bring. But sometimes we forget that his burden is not just for, he don't just get up here and preach because he wants to be a preacher, but he was called to be a pastor. And he didn't have a choice. That was a responsibility that God gave him in life. And each one of us have a responsibility as laity and as that little bride to be a flock and to be fed and to grow. And it's our responsibility to make sure that we come in reverence every time that God is going to speak. It's not our brother that's getting up here to speak. His mouth is moving, but God is bringing the word to us. And it's our responsibility to be sure that I am paying attention, that I am doing all I can to give my utmost attention to who? Brother DeLong? No, to God, as he is bringing the word, to make sure that he's laying out the responsibilities that I have to fulfill. And it's my responsibility to be sure that, Lord, reveal it to me, that it would take a hold in my life and manifest, Lord, that I am fulfilling my position. But oh my, how we ought to truly seek God and make sure that in everything, in everyday life, it's wonderful to say I believe this message. It's wonderful to say I understand the mysteries. But is this word being reflected? Love, patience, kindness, all the things our brothers already mentioned here over the last several services. My responsibility is all of that reflected through my life. I'd like to, let me see here. I think I had a scripture I was going to read. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. I'll hold you too long. Amen. Over here. Let's turn to the book of Titus. I wrote this down, and I believe I wanted to read it with this. Amen. Can't even. As soon as I find it. Amen. Titus, the second chapter. And just some more scripture to weigh into our lives and make sure that these things are living. There's a lot of wonderful scriptures in this Bible. Things that maybe we forget about sometimes. Maybe there's many things that we kind of forget that, you know, we can just live any way we want to live as long as I believe the word. But we must make sure that our lives is a total reflection of what God wants us to be. Titus 2 in the first verse. But speak thou things which become sound doctrine, that all the aged men be sober and grave, temperate, sound in faith, and in love and in patience. And the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, and the word of God, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptedness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously, godly, and in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purifying unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, that these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. And how there we can just find in that scripture many things to weigh our lives by and see if it's lining up. But you know, do we truly, you know, it's so often in this world anymore, you see so many people that have children and they've lost their love. They have no love for their children. Their children are a burden. They don't want their children around. Their children's always underfoot. Just somebody come get them. And I see it a lot. But you know, God give them to us. And as a Christian, we should be an example that our children are being raised not in fear of us, but they are truly raised in love and nurtured by the word of God and shown that there is a right way to walk in the paths. And every aspect of our home, husbands to wives, wife to husband, that there is a reverence there and a respect. And that it's not two horses in the same harness pulling in different directions, but there's a unity in our lives and in our hearts. And that everything we do in one mind and one accord to one object, to the glory of God, that he would receive the glory and the honor from it. But my, there's many things that, you know, I just pray that somehow the words will be of an encouragement to you. Maybe it'll help us along our way, but what's my responsibility? Am I shirking any portion of my responsibility in anything? There's many responsibilities that we've heard come across this platform, handed down through the word of God, that we must fulfill to be that virtuous bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Am I shirking any part of my duty as that wife? Am I shirking any duty to him? If I am, then let me get in the harness and pick up where I've left off. And may we press towards that mark of the prize of a high calling in Jesus. Not to the praise of men, but to the praise of his glory. That he would be happy and pleased with me in my life. Yes. My, I pray it's meant a little something to you. Maybe it'll help us along the way. Amen. But my, he's so precious. Let's all stand if you would. Just thank God every day for his mercy and his grace. Amen. And see what he's doing for us. But let's just sing that little chorus. It's in the songbook here. Amen. See if I can find it. Saints, we've been so privileged that God's seen us in this day to be one of them that can live for him, that he chose to reveal himself to, that he revealed, took the time to stop and to bring things back to our remembrance that we had forgotten, things that we let go, things we let slide, but by his grace, he's never let go of us. But over on 598, let's just sing this little chorus. I like it. Amen. Deeper in the love of Jesus, daily let me go. Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus, daily let me go. Higher, higher in the school of wisdom, more of grace to know. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day.
blessed Holy Spirit, take me deeper still, till my life is wholly lost in Jesus and His perfect will. Deeper, deeper, though it cost hard trials,
every day and higher. Amen. Till the, oh my, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word, my, how precious it is. You know, we're just such a privileged people. Amen. Hallelujah. I ask Brother Josh to come dismiss us. And as we do, let's sing that little chorus, "We're a Happy People." Amen. You know, I was thinking as he sang that little song earlier, "This Little Light of Mine." Amen. I like that little song. Amen. As our brother said, we need to let that happen more often. It's what we're talking about tonight, letting our light shine.
Amen.
Letting it shine like it should. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus. "We're Happy People," and Brother Josh can come dismiss us.
We're a happy people. Yes, we are. We're a happy people. Yes, we are. Been baptized in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been such a blessing to be here this night. And Lord, enjoyed the word thoroughly, Lord. Lord, it is needed, Lord, in my own life. And Lord, I appreciate it, Lord. It's the truth regardless, Lord. And we love it, and we appreciate everything you've done for us, all the word you've been bringing to our remembrance. Dear Lord, just keep us pressing towards the mark of the high calling in you. Lord, just bless each and every one as we go our separate ways. Keep us safe. Lord, and let your will be done. And like the little song says, keep that light shining in our lives, Lord, for you. We ask you to bless each and every one now as we're dismissed from, Lord, this building, but never from thy presence. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray these things. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing that little song, "He's the Master of the Wind." Amen.
Amen.
I